Hello, this is Joey Friel on KBCRadio.com, and you're listening to Brahma Sports, where we get into the minds of Pierce College athletes. Today, my guest is a Pierce College professor. He is the athletics counselor, and he's a really, really good pal of mine. Here is Professor Joseph Roberts. Thank you, Professor, for coming today.
Hello, how are we doing today?
Good, how about you?
A little under the weather, but I'm here and ready to go.
Really appreciate you coming today.
Certainly.
Are you ready to answer some questions?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. How do you student athletes open up to you with their problems?
You say, how do they open up to me?
Yep.
When you ask that question, are you asking me, like, what?
Like, personal problems, okay. Like, problems they're dealing with.
Okay. I would say it's potentially different for each student. You know, they're all individuals, so it's not going to be the same process for each person. Some people are more free and more willing to open up and discuss things. For others, it may take some time to develop some rapport. Also, I think it involves some level of bonding, right? So therefore, I may engage in some appropriate level of self-disclosure so students know, hey, you're not the only one who experiences problems. Sometimes as a professor and counselor, students may perceive that my life is just great and forget that there's a human aspect to my identity as well, which means that, you know, my life has problems as well. And so therefore, I try to make them aware of that, at least to create some comfort level with them knowing, hey, I understand. I might not have the same specific problems you have, but I relate in the sense of having problems and having had problems and being aware that that's part of life. Life is going to consistently present you with some level of adversity, obstacles, or problems. So, you know, I would say that would be my response to you in terms of how they open up to me.
That is awesome. What drew you into being the athletics counselor?
You know, it was something that was asked of me. I believe it has a direct relationship to the fact that I was a student athlete here in 1996 through 98. Upon leaving here, I went to one of the local universities, CSUN, and I was a student athlete there. So initially, I was a counselor here for the general student population. And then at some point, it was requested of me, hey, we really feel that it would be an ideal situation if you were willing to work with the student athletes here. And I think for any of us, it feels like a blessing to be of service or for someone to tell you, hey, we really need you to serve this particular population. So that was requested of me, and then at some point I acquiesced and became an athletic counselor.
That's really awesome. Did you want to be a pro athlete when you were in college?
When I was in college, I did not have any inclination to thinking professional athletics was part of my journey. I was a little older when I came here. I was 23, I believe, when I came to Pierce College. I had just came back from a period of incarceration. So for me, it wasn't so much about any NFL dreams, so much as my perception of society and realizing that I needed to find a way to navigate back to being a productive member of society, and me seeing that athletics was a way to do that. It was a way to create structure and discipline in my journey through my academics. So, no, I wasn't one of those who had NFL dreams. And at the same time, if you saw me prepare, I think you would have been inclined to think that, only because I understood I'd be competing against people who did have NFL dreams, and I needed to prepare in such a manner in order to compete with them.
Yep, that is true. What types of requirements do athletes need to get, like, an AA? Or if it's, like, the same, like, regular students?
I think on a personal level, the best way to do it is to complete the same exact requirements that the normal student population, the general student population, would have to complete in order to matriculate from here to a university. Excuse me. That being said, if a student athlete is offered a scholarship, then they simply need to complete an AA degree. And then there's certain requirements based on whether it's Division I, Division II, et cetera. So if it's Division I, they're going to need to have a 2.5 GPA. They're going to need to have two college-level English transferable transferable English courses, college level transferable math, and several other requirements. Now, that being said, it's my thought process that rather than doing the minimal requirements in hopes that you're offered a scholarship, in which case if that doesn't happen, you're now stuck, so to speak, it would be better to complete the requirements that all students would have to complete in order to matriculate forward. Just in case you don't receive a scholarship, you still have the option of applying to a university, being accepted, and then potentially walking on to a team to see if you can earn a spot or potentially earn scholarship money and continue on your journey.
Yep, yep. What is the toughest part about your job? Or if it's not even tough, what is the toughest part about your job?
In perspective, I wouldn't say it's a tough job. I mean, if I wasn't getting paid for it, I'd still do it for free, right? I would spend time. I do my own podcast in which I talk to people about athletics. I spend a lot of my personal time talking with young people about athletics, trying to offer feedback on an appropriate thought process and what you're trying to gain from athletics and, you know, having a broad sense of purpose and what you're trying to do with athletics. So for me, it's not hard. So it kind of goes back to one of those statements, if you find something you love, you never have to work a day. Or if you find a job you love, you never have to work a day in your life. Now, at the same time, hold on one second. Excuse me. At the same time, I am a very empathetic person, a very feeling person, a very compassionate individual. So I think what I do find difficult from time to time is trying to help people along the way and seeing the great level of disconnect from what their hopes, their dreams are, their goals, and their understanding of the reality of what has to be done to arrive at those outcomes. So the reality is everyone who wants to be an athlete kind of is attached to the idealization of being an athlete, the glory of it, the pop culture aspects of it. But if you really want to pursue athletics, even at the collegiate level, community college level, university level, let alone pro level, you have to be committed to the grind. You have to be willing to work hard. You have to understand that it's a dual existence, both as a student and as an athlete. So sometimes I find it difficult to, you know, watch the learning curve and just realize that some people upon arriving here are really not going to successfully complete that journey. And I begin, you know, once you develop an emotional connection with someone, you desire it for them. But I can't desire it for them more than they desire it for themselves, because they're the ones who have to engage in the daily tasks and behaviors it takes to arrive at that outcome. So if there's anything I find difficult about it, it's just that. It's just wanting to see all humans have an opportunity to succeed and realizing at some point not everyone who begins the journey is going to finish the journey.
Yeah, that's true. But when you say, like, with the difficult aspect, that's like, you know, people, when you go into the athletic field, you know, let's like say, like, you know, like you had a student, you know, that like is really contribute, is hardworking, but, you know, he doesn't want to put the grind. What can you say to people that don't want to put that grind into the athletic aspect as people would do it?
I just give open, honest feedback. I try to present it from a very compassionate perspective, but also, you know, if you really want to develop rapport with people, they have to know you're going to be honest with them, even when the information you're presenting them is not necessarily favorable. So there's many people who come here to play sports and don't realize that, okay, well, this is the college level. This isn't high school. Like, you even more so have to be committed to the academics as well. So some people might even share with me, hey, I really don't enjoy school. Okay, well, maybe this isn't for you, right? So I'll be honest with them and be forthright. Because if I won't do that, then what relationship am I really developing with them that's going to allow me to fulfill the role I'm trying to fulfill in their lives? So I'm just open about it. Like, hey, this is what's required. So at the end of the day, it's not really whether you feel like it or not. That's not relevant. What's relevant is this is the outcome you say you desire. This is what's required to get there. Are you going to be willing to do it? So whether you enjoy the activities or not aren't relevant. It's whether you're committed enough to the outcomes you desire to engage in the activities required to arrive at that outcome.
Okay. Do you get a lot of athletes coming to you, and how often?
I mean, I spend my every day here working with athletes. So Monday through Friday, that's what I'm doing here. So I would say most definitely that's 90% of my time here is consumed with working with people, working with the student athletes on their individual goals, maybe talking with them about their personal situations that impact their academic and athletic outcomes, talking with them about career interests outside of athletics, talking with them about major interests, and also the issues in their personal lives that are going to have some impact on whether they arrive at the outcomes they desire.
That's good. What do you do to make students, athletes, talk about the problems to you?
I'd go back to what I initially said, that I give them some level of appropriate self-disclosure. I may talk with them about what my journey has been like, maybe the struggles, the adversities, the joys, the blessings. Also just sit back and listen. I let people know that they don't have to come to me to just talk about their grades all the time. You can make an appointment, come sit and talk with me about your life, because if I don't understand the other variables that are going on in your life, then how could I really understand how to give you feedback on what's going on? So it may take someone an entire year to really share with me the intimate details of what's going on in their world. And I have to be okay with that, because each individual has their own process. And so you can't impose your identity and your will on a student, or in this case, a student athlete. You kind of have to let them go through their own process. And really, at the end of the day, that's what this whole journey is about. Everyone's not going to make it to being a student athlete at the collegiate level, specifically at a university, or even an athlete at the pro level. But I would hope they walk away having learned something about themselves, maybe about certain characteristics in life like commitment, persistence, perseverance, dedication. And if that happens, then at the end of the day, we have accomplished something meaningful that hopefully will stick with them and be part of their lifelong learning process.
That's really cool. Which athlete was the toughest to talk to you?
I really wouldn't even have an answer for that. I don't know if I would look back on any one particular individual on being the toughest to talk to. Yeah, that'd be a difficult question to answer, because everyone has their own aspects. Some people are hard-headed, so some people might consider that the toughest person, right? Some people are clueless. And that's not just student athletes, that's humans in general, right? Some people are delusional. Some people are out of touch with reality. Some people are just quiet. Some people are introverted, right? So I don't think it was one individual who was the hardest to deal with so much as everyone having their nuances to their personality that you kind of have to study, right? You got to study people, respect them, honor them as individuals, and just take the time to get to know them. So yeah, I wouldn't really say anyone was particularly the hardest.
Okay. How do you approach like athletes with their problems? Like I'll give it like an example. If like an athlete, like I'm an athlete, and I do not want to open up to you, and I just I come in, you talk to me, you know, we talk, but I just have that, you know, just that look like, oh, man, I'm not feeling the right day, and I just, you know, I have that problem. How would you like get into the feeling types? Would you go back into like, would you tell them about like what you talk about, and then they'll go dive in into like the problems?
Usually I probably start most of the appointments asking people like what did they come in for on that. So I let the student athletes dictate like, what did you come here to discuss? Again, I don't try to force people to open up, because some people need time. So the process may be different with each individual. Some people may come sit in my office and I have to sit there in silence. Some people are uncomfortable with silence, but I may have to sit there in silence to allow them several minutes to gather themselves to decide if they even want to share with me. In one sense, when you're working with someone as a counselor, you're working with someone as a counselor, there's these little things that become important, like eye contact, right? And then at the same time, there's moments where to make someone feel comfortable, you don't have eye contact. I might turn around and face the other direction and begin to do something else on the computer to allow someone a moment to gather themselves and decide if they really want to share. I think usually that's the most effective way, is to allow people to do that in their own time. Now, there are times when maybe the circumstances won't allow it, and I have to be very direct, and I have to make sure that I let them know, no matter what I'm saying, I'm not being condescending, I'm not being disparaging, and it's all in compassion, because I understand the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that they are trying to seize upon, and I'll let them know I don't want to fail and be negligent in my duties and responsibilities to give them the appropriate feedback on how serious it is. So I think for the most part, for me, that involves being very open, honest, transparent, and genuine in my discussions with them. But again, you know, it does vary upon individual. There's no cookie cutter approach to dealing with every student athlete to get them to open up.
Oh, wow. Well, and you say you gotta be direct. Do you like go into direct, or do you like, you know, you bring it back to yourself and then you just go into being direct with these athletes?
It depends on the circumstances. If there are requirements to participating as a student athlete. So for instance, between your first season of competition and your second season, you need to have completed 24 units, right? Out of 24 units, a minimum of 18 must be academic units. There's GPA requirements. So if I see someone coming up short of that, there's no reason to dance around that, because, excuse me again, they need direct feedback. They need honest feedback. So I'm very blunt with them. Like, if you don't do this, if you don't fulfill this requirement, you're not going to be eligible. I mean, this is college. This isn't, you know, you're not in middle school. You're not even in high school. This is college. So these are young adults I'm dealing with. So even though, in a sense, there's a balance to it, because someone at the age of 20 is most definitely an adult, a young adult. But then as someone who's currently 46 going on 47 and also a father, I also have a perspective that someone at the age of 18, 19, 20, in one sense, is still a baby, right? When you talk about duration over the period of a lifetime. So there's some balance in it, like, certain circumstances require you to be direct. Again, that doesn't have to be in a hurtful way, right? But I can let you know if this is really what you want to do. You're putting yourself in a compromising situation. Also, there's the implications for financial aid and other things, where you have to complete a certain percentage of the units you sign up for every semester. So therefore, I'm giving people feedback on real life consequences and then allowing them to make decisions and choices. And that's one of the beautiful things about life is, you know, as a young adult, that's one of the lessons you want to leave college with, is, hey, you have choices and you get to make decisions. And that's very powerful, because up until now, many young people, their parents have made all the decisions, what schools they went to and various other details of their life. But upon arriving in college, now you have to make those decisions. And that's a beautiful thing, to have options, to have choices. However, the reality is that there's consequences to every decision. You got me? There's consequences to choices. So you better think wisely. And so, again, it's kind of a process, and that's what we're working towards. So, you know, there's some times where being subtle is appropriate, and there's times when being direct is appropriate. And that's not just for student athletes. If there's traffic on the freeway and you're about to walk across the freeway, I don't think that's a very appropriate time to be subtle. I think it would be appropriate, in terms of showing a value for your life, to tell you if you walk across this freeway right now, you're likely to die. So the situation and my concern for your well-being dictates me being direct.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you brought up, like, you know, like you said, like, choices. You know, like, most of these athletes, they don't go through choices. You know, it's hard for them to even think of, like, you know, what school, what team. You know, they're already nervous enough to even try to make a team. You know, a lot of athletes go through struggle for that. Even in general, they get worried, they get panicky. My question is, like, the good thing you brought up choice. You know, like, what is the first steps of getting athletes into, like, a big name school, for example, like Duke, you know, like Kentucky, you know, those types of schools?
Well, part of what we're dealing with is reality. So I will say it's most definitely possible. We've had wonderful students, student athletes leave here and have wonderful opportunities at major Division I universities. We've had multiple students leave here. Gerald Bowman went to USC. Shout outs to Gerald Bowman, G27 Sports on Instagram. Jalen Strong went to Arizona State, currently is playing with the Cleveland Browns. And at the same time, you know, if we talk about the reality of arriving at the community college to compete, there's a reason you're here. So part of it is helping people facilitate their dreams and goals. I'm not here as a gatekeeper. I don't stand in the way of people's goals, of their dreams. And I'm not here to tell you to do anything other than shoot for lofty goals and aspire to greatness. At the same time, we know the reality is, especially living in the San Fernando Valley, where you have highly competitive high school programs in all sports. If you're at the community college, certain schools, you may not be on their radar. There's not a lot of young people who are going to come here, for instance, and play basketball and get a scholarship opportunity to Duke. However, we know what standard is required because we look at our local high schools. You see Sierra Canyon, Marvin Bagley, Cassius Stanley. You go look at Crespi and Brandon Williams. You look at Taft and Kie Clark. Shout out to Kie, just won the NCAA championship with Virginia. So we know the standard required to arrive at these lofty goals. And the reality is that's not necessarily going to present itself for everyone. Now, that being said, one of the goals has to be to have a wonderful experience in life that sets you up for the next stage of your life. And that's not going to happen just at Duke, at SC, at UCLA. There's thousands of institutions across the country where someone can go have a wonderful experience as a student athlete. So, you know, part of it is trying to help each individual student athlete become in touch with their reality. And again, it's we all have a great potential, but how much are you willing to engage in the daily grind and tasks required to arrive at the outcomes you desire?
Yeah, that's true. That's really true. All that you said, that's really true. You know, all those big, like, all those high schools that, like, no one would even heard of, and he came out with these big name stars, like, for example, Malcolm Bagley. That's a big name guy, second pick for Sacramento.
Right.
A big guy like that. And then, like, look at Yelich, Christian Yelich, you know, Brewers guy. He's killing it. He was from the Valley. You know, like, see, like, what most people don't understand is you don't have to get into a big-name school or a big-name area to get into, to get famous.
Right. Or just to have a wonderful collegiate experience.
That's also true, like that. You could do it if you put the work and grind, like you said. Again, work and grind. If you grind out, you will get the success you need. Okay. What do you tell athletes that don't have a B plan?
That you better come up with one. Right? That's part of life. Now, there is another perspective. Some people say if you want to be great at something, don't give yourself a plan B. I understand that mentality, too. So to each his own, so to speak. But for me, I think, yeah, you most definitely need a plan B, or you need, even if you call it your plan A, you need some other path to arrive at your outcome. So I think the expression goes, there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know?
Yep.
Not that I want to see anyone skin a cat, right? But it's an expression. That being said, you know, there's more than one way to arrive at your outcome. So, you know, considering multiple paths to do that would be a wise thing in life. And that's not just collegiate athletics. That's over the course of your lifetime, that would be in wisdom.
Well, that's true. Because, like, a lot of people, you know, you can even say that, too. You can even, like, say it yourself. Like, you probably know people that had not have a B plan, and then, you know, and you can just see them now. You know, they're just struggling. I have, you know, I can give experience myself that I would never have thought of having a B plan. I would thought, oh, my career, you know, being an athlete, I always wanted to be an athlete. But you know what? My dad told me this. It's hard. You can see the percentages online. It's hard to get it. And my height. I'm 6 foot. I'm a point guard. And I'm not that talented. But then I worked the way in life. I got advice for family and all that stuff. And I did get my B plan. And again, I got my A plan. I got my plans in life. And so my
very good.
And so my final question, Professor, till we head off, what type of advice can you give athletes that are struggling out there?
Commit yourself to the struggle. Like, to struggle at something is not a bad thing. There's too many of us who look at struggle and adversity like that's negative. Struggle and adversity builds character. I mean, and that's going to be an occurrence in life. Life is going to require you to get through adversity. It's going to require you to be able to deal with struggle. So embrace it. Don't run from it. Don't look at it as something negative. Many things in life are about perspective and perception. If you perceive that to be something negative, you internalize that energy. If you understand anything worth having in this world generally requires some level of struggle, some level of adversity, then you can embrace it. And the last thing I say, if you're in athletics, don't let your plan B have a relationship to becoming a rapper. Try something else. And there you have it.
Thank you, Professor, again. I'll leave his room in the description. And I'm Joey Farrell, tuning in at kpcradio.com. I'm out.